The Lord be with you.
This morning, we have the gift of having Susanna Lesch share a word with us. Some of you may know Susanna. She is the coordinator of mentoring and internships with the Studies for Ministry Minor. Is that right? Yes. All right. Susanna is a husband of Edward, a father of... What? Oh, she is a wife. I actually have my wife helping me with that. Thank you, Grace. Edward is her husband. She is the mother of Isaac, Lily, and Caleb. And most importantly, she is someone who knows what it means to love Jesus and listen to his call on her life. So can I pray for you?
Please.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning, for Susanna and her word. We pray that you would send your spirit and send your word through her. We pray all of these things in your gracious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Trig said to pretend like I'm in my living room right now, just having a conversation, but I don't know, this is awesome. I wish this was my living room. You guys are amazing. It's really great to be here. It's very humbling. Hear these words from Romans 8, verse 11 to 17. For the first time, I read this text from The Message, and I thought it was a version that fit well with what I'm sharing today. And I'm probably going to cry, and I shouldn't have worn mascara. Not self. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't know this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. I was raised in a Christian home with loving parents who spoke truth to me, allowed me to be myself, and revealed their personal faith through transparent and real testimony, through humility and grace. My dad is an Anglican priest. My mom studied music for her undergrad, went to Berklee Seminary in the 60s. She's got some great stories, I'm sure. Later became a teacher. Mom was a Baptist who fell in love with the Anglican, and together they have been in ministry for over 45 years. My parents are my heroes. I could give an entire testimony about them, how they shaped my life and taught me how to walk with Jesus. I'm a middle kid, older brother, younger sister. As Dan shared, I am a mom of three. I also was a missionary kid, having lived for a time in Honduras, Central America. I could tell many stories about all of these realities that carved out the framework for my Christian faith, and I jumped ahead. But now I will say I am happily married to this man right here, 20 years this month. I think that needs a standing ovation. 20 years, 20 years. It's a miracle. Marriage is a miracle. I could share a testimony about how my experience and my family and these four courageous, Isaac, Lily, Caleb, and Edward, insightful, beautiful people have shaped my walk with Christ, humbled me, and drawn me to my knees in thanks for the abundant life that I live. Having been raised in a Christian home, I was baptized, confirmed, gave my life to Jesus as a child. I had a sign hanging above my bed, which I think were popular in the 70s, that would say your name. So it said Susanna. And then Proverbs 31:20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. As a child, I knew I was destined for missionary work. My heart longed for helping the hurting and the lost. Having lived in Honduras as a child grounded me in the truth that all is not equal. Poverty exists and is real, and I was determined I was going to do something about it. Middle and high school were fairly typical. I was involved with church, youth group, school activities, leadership. Probably the biggest challenge was overcoming how I could not be a perfect friend to every person that I met. I had a heart for the lost, but somehow was pulled by the larger, louder, popular crowd, and this was the tension in my younger years. But in these few short minutes today, I want to share something else, something that happened to me in my early 20s, something that transformed my life and formed my faith, and what I believe is what has kept me in the church through both the joys and challenges of being a Christian. I was completing my Bachelor of Science degree at Seattle Pacific University and was a member of a church that had experienced a revival in the 60s. I was a member there much later in the 90s. Things had kind of dwindled out. The members ranged from millionaires to street people, but they all had something in common. They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ experienced through the work of the Holy Spirit. And on a typical Sunday, there was an expression of worship revealed through tears, sometimes dancing, words of prophecy. This congregation welcomed me in and showed me how to love and see God working through even the most difficult situations. Sometimes, I have to admit, the people were really annoying. Although I grew up in the church and I had a heart for people, I was growing weary of this particularly needy congregation. There was Jane, a homeless woman who slept in the basement during the whole service, smelled awful. She never seemed to get better. Jamie, who sang with such gusto on the worship team but had lived a life on the streets, in gangs, and amongst the hard-hearted. He would awkwardly share that he only had one testicle because of a gunfight, and I would say, Jamie, don't go around telling people that. Have some self-respect, man. I remember in the middle of a sermon one Sunday, a drunk homeless man walked right up during the sermon, sat in the bishop's chair, and urinated. There were many parishioners who lived affluent lives as well, were raised with pedigree, cried through the entire service on Sunday because they were moved by the Spirit of God. But I remember very clearly one Sunday when I was particularly bothered by one parishioner named Susan. She had irritated me before. She was in her late 50s. She wore really tight red stretch pants, praised and worshiped the Lord and danced up and down the aisle and singing this song on this particular Sunday. I am not my own. I was bought with a price. She was in charge of the overhead projector. And it would move around because she would not stand still during the singing, which was particularly aggravating. I learned to close my eyes so that I wasn't distracted. And I would pray for Susan. And I would pray for the church. And I would pray for my sanity. Following this service, I was invited to join the women's retreat, which was honestly the last thing I wanted to do. I did not fit in with these women. I was far more formed in my faith. I was far wiser, and I was way more in touch with reality. But in the end, I joined the retreat. But funny thing happened at this retreat. During one of our sessions, when I was in a room surrounded by these beautifully awkward Christian sisters, the Spirit of God moved in me. Like a flash, I found myself in a heap on the floor, a sobbing mess. I sobbed heart-wrenching sobs for what seemed like an eternity. I did not have it all together. I needed Jesus. More importantly, I needed to confess my sins that had been building up inside me. I confessed everything. I guarantee you it did not look pretty or put together, kind of like right now. But messy and weak, the Spirit of God delivered me from my I-do-it-myself life. God's Spirit beckoned. On the retreat, I learned about the women. I heard their stories. I learned that Susan had been a drug addict, a prostitute for 20 years, a pole dancer. She had many horrific stories of hell, of dark, sticky, black, yucky hell. Her expression of worship was founded in her transformation from darkness into light, and he transformed her life. God had taken up residence in her life, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. I tear up still now remembering that song. I am not my own, but I was bought with a price, and she was so annoying. She was a prostitute, and now she was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. This expression of worship is not necessary to become a Christian, but I guarantee you it is a large part of my testimony, and it is the way God chose to reveal himself to me, which changed my life and view of faith from something I could control to knowing that I couldn't. Hear this again from Romans 8. When God lives and breathes in you as he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. So don't you see that you don't owe this do-it-yourself, your old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. God's purpose is to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. This church was filled with variety, all right, in the urban setting of Seattle, Washington. It was filled with people who frustrated me, people who made me uncomfortable. And yet the people who God placed in my life to reveal my own sin and turn my sin and darkness into a marvelous light. The pastor of this church had a tough job. He had to gently guide and remind, sometimes not so gently, maybe some manners. He had to talk to Susan about maybe appropriate dress when we're dancing in the aisles and running the overhead projectors, and some corrections needed to be made. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. When one of my kids has an awful nightmare and I don't have the words to pray, I invite the Holy Spirit in. And then, which they were going to be here today, they would have thought it was funnier, I pretend like I'm a ninja. And I fight the bad guys. And I think about the Holy Spirit as the fast, quiet, pursue the enemy ninja. And then sometimes I wear a sweatband when I do that. And it says Team Jesus on it. When I am asked to do a chapel talk and I want to run for the hills so that I don't mess up or say something wrong, I invite the Holy Spirit in to change my heart. God's Spirit touches my spirit and confirms who I really am. When I moved to Michigan 3 years ago, leaving my family, my lifelong friends, our church, 8 acres of land, a three-story tree fort, and the mountains, God's spirit touches my spirit and confirms who I really am. When I have to face my sin in areas of my life where I fall short of the glory of God, I invite the Spirit of God to renew my mind. God's spirit touched my spirit and confirmed who I really am. I wonder what maybe some of you could release, give a decent burial, and get on with your new life. God's spirit is beckoning. There are things to do and places to go. We are to greet God with, "What's next, Papa?" His spirit touches our spirit, and you are renewed and made whole, and you can be who you really are. Today, almost 20 years later, the Holy Spirit is my go-to. When I don't know what to pray or how to respond or I'm irritated with someone, his ideas are far better than mine. Praise God for this truth. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us, fill us with your power. Fill us with your life. Fill us with your joy. Strengthen us where we have felt weak and clothe us in your light. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.